May my speaking and all our responding be in the name of God. Amen.
Amen.
I ask your forgiveness if I take the opportunity to reflect upon the question of angels prompted by yesterday's feast of St. Michael and All Angels, rather than the different mutilations that might have to be performed to our bodies according to this morning's gospel. It would all be very messy indeed. And so, for us, I suggest the question should be, do you believe in angels? No, don't worry, I'm not going to start singing that ABBA song, and I realise that such a comment dates me. And let me admit straight away that I don't think I believe in the sort of angels with wings and halos depicted in much religious paintings, stained glass and sculpture. Well, at least, I haven't seen one or experienced one suddenly appearing at my bedside or knocking at my door in such a guise. And nor do I find the image of those baby-faced cherubs helpful either. But there are plenty of angels in the Bible, God's messengers unlocking the space between heaven and earth, depicted not least as the go-between beings. If this were an informal service, I would wander around among you and ask you for examples of angels in the Old Testament. But you are safe this morning because it's not an informal service. But I can give you some examples if needed. Jacob's dream, for example. The angels are depicted as ascending and descending on that ladder, linking heaven and earth. You can think, I'm sure, of many examples of the importance of angels and their messages or actions as the history of God's people is unfolded, with Abraham, for example, and his vision of the three angels in Mamre, which some commentators get very excited about because they think that that might be the first mention of the Holy Trinity. Or you've got Lot protecting angels, unrecognized, as if family. Or Daniel being rescued from the lions by the angel. But angels, you'll know, of course, aren't always good news. If they are badly treated, disaster could result, as happened, for example, in the story of Balaam's donkey. Google angels, if you have a moment, and see all the many answers that come up. I did so, and was told that, in fact, over 108 separate references to angels are to be found in the Old Testament, and even more in the New Testament, where there is a plentiful supply of good news angels, especially, of course, around the birth of Jesus, the Annunciation to Mary, his birth proclaimed to the world and to those humble shepherds in the field, but also protecting angels, for example, telling Joseph to take that family away, and also to the wise men to return home a different way to avoid Herod and his murdering soldiers. The presence of ministering angels, for example, after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and then announcing the resurrection from the empty tomb. Angels of release, for example, to Peter in prison, and angels of reassurance, for example, to Paul, appearing in a dream to reassure him that he wouldn't die during his perilous journey to Rome. And then, of course, in the book of Revelation, we have Michael and all the angels vanquishing Satan and all his evil angels from heaven. One of the constant themes about angels in the Bible, of these go-between proclaimers, messengers, is that they are not always recognized as such. And so I come now to the text for this morning's reflection. It's from the letter to Hebrews. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unawares. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unawares. Now, that's quite sobering, isn't it? It may be easy to say that I don't believe in the sort of angels depicted in Renaissance art with wings and halos, or of the baby-faced cherubs of Baroque sculpture, but can I dare deny their existence when they may look like us and be indistinguishable from human beings? The writer to the Hebrews uses the idea of unwittingly being in the company of angels to reinforce his instructions regarding Christian behaviour. It's an idea used in a similar way by Jesus when he turned on the Pharisees and denounced them for failing to respond to basic human needs in other people who they called sinful or beyond the pale. They said, you remember, in a rather injured fashion, "Lord, when was it when we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not visit you?" To which Jesus replied, "When you didn't do it for the least of these, you didn't do it for me." And in the parable of the marriage feast, Jesus teaches in a very graphic and pointed fashion about the importance of humility when he notices guests at the dinner are quietly angling for the best seats, suggesting that they should wait lest someone worthier is invited and they, with humility, have to take the lower seat. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Most of us have a tendency to angle for the best seats, whether it's the best education for our children, or the best hospital treatment, or the best job, or the best house, or the best car. That's human nature, and it's been going on for thousands of years, as we heard in the Old Testament of the Hebrews moaning that they weren't getting their cucumbers at the time. But Jesus taught that we should seek the best for all human beings, not just a select few in our particular circle, even if that means that we ourselves sometimes have to take a lower seat, second best. After all, it may be that those we're angling out of place are angels in disguise. We've come a long way, haven't we, from the original thought of white-robed beings with halos and wings, and my admission that I haven't experienced such presences. But there is another sort of angel I do believe in very perfectly, and that's guardian angels. Perhaps loved ones departed this life, watching over me, not being able to communicate by speech, sight, touch, or smell, but rather by a deep sense of reassurance that I am not alone. A reassurance, a warmth, and an affirmation, but also perhaps a challenge or a sense of disappointment when my free will is taking me in the wrong direction. We are reminded this morning, thanks to the feast day of St. Michael and All Angels yesterday, that angels come in many different guises, and that we do well to be open to that possibility, not least for the message they may bring directly from God, a word of comfort or hope or reassurance, a word of forgiveness if such a word is needed, as it often is. Guardian angels, yes, angels with halos and wings, still not sure. But yesterday's feast day reminds me, and maybe you, to recognise angels in a different role in our present day, as well as in history, and to be aware of their reassuring, forgiving, loving, perhaps challenging presence. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unawares. Amen.